You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting in this third week of September 2024. We are a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious liberties and freedom of conscience. On the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. For me, an inspiration, an honor to bring you this weekly report. If you're new to the Religious Liberty Report, we are a Christian legal organization working and hoping to equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture so that we may better understand and articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold and uncompromising, committed to God's Word as our guide. The founders of our great nation understood that one of government's primary tasks is to preserve the freedom for each person to follow his own conscience. So they enshrined certain fundamental rights in our nation's constitution to guarantee this freedom. A message from South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or enrich your spiritual life. At South Florida Bible College, there are new programs designed just for you. Introducing their Master's in Business Administration, Master's in Mental Health Counseling, and a doctorate degree in ministry. South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary offering undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees. Programs available online or on campus in Deerfield Beach, Florida. Offering over 20 programs on campus or online. Explore their diverse range of programs in ministry, theology, business, and counseling from associate to doctoral levels. As one of the top 10 most affordable Bible colleges in the United States, South Florida Bible College provides quality education at an affordable price. And with scholarship opportunities just a click away, go to sfbc.edu to learn more and apply today. South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, fully accredited and ready to serve you. Turning to page one of the report, on this third week of September 2024, Miami-Dade School Board votes against recognizing LGBTQ plus History Month for a third year in a row. The Miami-Dade School Board voted against a proposal to recognize October as LGBTQ plus History Month. It was a 5-3 vote this past Wednesday, coming hours after the school board heard a mix of passionate opinions about whether to approve or not approve item H10. The item read that recognizing observing LGBTQ plus History Month would still comply with state and federal laws in ways that does not affect curriculum and instruction. It was proposed by board member Lucia Baez Geller, who is also running for U.S. Congress. The recognition of LGBTQ plus History Month would be, she said, ceremonial and not impact instructional material. Baez Geller went on to say that the item is solely a symbolic gesture to recognize LGBTQ History Month, as we do so many endorsements throughout the year. It does not pertain to curriculum, said Baez Geller. Parents, teachers, and community members spoke before the school board for hours. Those seeking to acknowledge LGBTQ plus History Month say it would be about fostering an inclusive environment. Well, we want to thank the Miami-Dade County School Board for voting down this misguided measure. We wish to thank the hundreds of parents and citizens who spoke up, emailed the Miami-Dade School Board, opposing the declaration of October as LGBTQ History Month. The Christian community and others prevailed for the third consecutive year in defeating this divisive anti-parent and anti-child initiative that only seeks to groom school children into sexual vice. We do not need our children to be exposed to this polemic. Children do not need to be learning adult sexual preferences in elementary and middle school. This belongs at home, not at school. This is not why we send our children to school. Children should be learning academics at school, not sexual preferences. Children belong to parents, not to schools. We have to uphold the respect for people's religious beliefs. The school system should be teaching math, science, history, and English, not political beliefs. When did it become the responsibility of our schools to teach gender and sexual identity? Our schools are supposed to be teaching math, reading, writing, science, history, and it's interesting, even highly deceptive and cunning on the part of the advocates of this agenda to label it as history. This is not history. This is pure ideology. Sexual identity. Teaching sexual identity to children. This is something that will only cause more confusion. Children do not need a full month of LGBTQ messaging to know and respect the gay community. Think about it. There's no month to celebrate heterosexuality or traditional marriage. Let's see this for what it is, a direct slap on the face of parents and their children. Let's be clear. This is indoctrination, not history. Celebration of sexuality does not contribute to academic learning environments. And to be clear, identification or declaration of one's sexuality is not an accomplishment in any sense of the word, as is science, technology, engineering, or arts. Sexuality of an individual should be irrelevant, except to perverts. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, reporting on how the Miami-Dade School Board voted against a proposal to recognize October as LGBTQ History Month for the third year in a row, acknowledging that promoting or forcing the acceptance of sexual gender ideology is wrong, inappropriate in academic settings for minor children, and comparing sexual gender ideology to major events in U.S. history is an insult to every U.S. citizen. Enforcing codes of conduct that teach kindness, manners, and promote the general concept of just be kind and nice are infinitely more effective at inspiring civility and goodwill than these wrong-headed measures promoting sexual gender ideology. We need to trust parents to decide if and when and to what extent their children should learn about these sensitive issues. Our schools should stick to science, English, and civics. Sexual and gender ideology has no place in our educational system. Our children should not be indoctrinated with this extremist agenda. We shouldn't be exposing our children in school to this curriculum. Our educational system was not designed to teach children about sexuality. It's designed for academic and social skills. One teacher supporting the measure said, "This is not about sexuality." Oh, come on. Just the word itself, the acronym, LGBTQ, L, lesbian, G, gay, B, bisexual, T, transgender, Q, queer, and now they add a plus sign for all the other endless possibilities. Of course, we need to have compassion for those that are locked in these identities, these lies. However, our school system has no right to override the rights of parents who do not want their children exposed to sexualized lesson plans that celebrate transgenderism or homosexuality. And since when did we deem it proper or right to sexualize our children, to sexualize minors by characterizing some school children as LGBTQ students? Outrageous. Children should not be placed into categories regarding sexual activity that they are too young to be engaged in legally or even spiritually, physically, morally. This is just an invitation to sexual predators to take advantage of our children. Not only older predators, but even fellow students in the school itself. Yes, we must have compassion and respect those struggling with sexual dysphoria, but we do not want, nor must we accept their agenda being imposed on our children. As Christians, we believe in love and respect, but we also believe in freedom, especially when it has to do with our children. Turning the page on the Religious Liberty Report, this third week of September 2024. An extremely grave amendment has been placed on the November 2024 ballot that seeks to erase pro-life protections in the state of Florida, seeking to insert language into the Florida Constitution prohibiting the regulation of abortion. The amendment would allow late-term abortions and would eliminate laws requiring parental consent and safety protocols for women. The Religious Liberty Report, urging all Floridians, especially those Christians within the state of Florida, to vote no on Amendment 4, reminding you that the Florida general election is November 5th, and early voting begins on October 26th, urging all Floridians of goodwill to stand against the legalization of late-term abortion and oppose Amendment 4. In doing so, we will not only protect the weakest, the most innocent and defenseless, but also countless women throughout the state from the harms of abortion. A political action committee against Amendment 4 published a video. Let's take a listen.
Bait and switch, sleight of hand, smoke and mirrors, all deceptions that make one thing seem like another. Like Amendment 4, an abortion amendment that's much more extreme than at first it seems. Here's Amendment 4. And here are other amendments from years past. Most provide detailed definitions of essential words, so voters know what they're voting on. So how many definitions does Amendment 4 provide? Zero. This small trick is a big scam. Amendment 4 says no law shall restrict abortion before viability, but never defines viability. It allows late-term abortions for a patient's health, but never defines patients' health. It allows so-called healthcare providers, not doctors, to define these terms, but never defines healthcare provider, a term broad enough to include non-medical staff at abortion clinics. Just as bad, Amendment 4 eliminates Florida's parental consent laws, replacing consent with notification, and making abortion the only medical procedure a minor could undergo without a parent's consent. They didn't have to write Amendment 4 this way, but they did. Why? Because they want to deceive you, to make their extreme amendment seem reasonable. This is what Amendment 4's ballot summary says, but this is what it means. No law shall prohibit any abortion at any time for any reason determined by abortion clinic employees. This amendment makes abortion the only medical procedure your child can undergo without your consent. It sounds extreme because it is extreme. No definitions, no doctors, no parental consent. Amendment 4, way too extreme and not what it seems.
Proverbs 29, verse 2. With good men and women in authority, the people rejoice, but with the wicked in power, they groan. Proverbs 29, verse 2. Brothers and sisters, the most effective way to restore righteous rule in America is to elect leaders who uphold our values. Should Christians be involved in politics at all, some ask. Unfortunately, too many Christians don't know how to answer this question. But with the election coming up quickly, the Religious Liberty Report hopes to provide information and guidance through the complex issues of our time. On the Religious Liberty Report, we urge Christians to take their obligation as citizens seriously, starting with exercising the right to vote. In the public square and at the ballot box, the church must be more engaged, not less. Even when we're faced with morally problematic choices, should voters cast a ballot for the lesser of two evils? For starters, until and unless Jesus of Nazareth is on the ballot, any and all elections will force us to choose the lesser of evils. So remember, brothers and sisters, Christianity and good citizenship do go well together. Of course, we understand that God is in control. It is He who lifts up and brings down rulers, that nothing happens without His approval. We trust the sovereignty of God to unfold. We know that government is by His divine decree. Yet at the same time, Christians should be good citizens. They should do their part to assure good government. And one way to do this is to vote. Having said this, however, there's really nothing in the Bible that directly addresses this topic. And Christians are not all agreed on what position to take. Some Christians feel that they should stand apart from politics and not become involved in the world of politics. They feel that since Christ will soon return, Christians have more important matters to deal with than debating political issues. Whatever time is left, Christians could better use in witnessing and preparing to meet Christ. Other Christians object to voting and involving themselves in political matters on the grounds that their effort will be non-productive. Bible prophecy indicates that the world conditions will steadily deteriorate, growing worse and worse as the end approaches. So why? Why spend ourselves, exhaust ourselves, to improve a world that is destined to decline? Well, I respectfully disagree. The right to a free ballot in the United States has been purchased by the blood of patriots. Christians should not regard it lightly, nor permit it to be lost through apathy or disuse. Christians may not only vote in good conscience, but they also may seek and hold public office. Our Bible tells us and reveals to us that some of God's most noble men and women participated in secular government. Joseph was one, serving as a top delegate in Egypt's government. He considered his appointment the direct result of God's leading. In Genesis chapter 45, verse 9, we hear him telling his brothers, "God had made me Lord of all Egypt. God did send me before you to preserve life." Another servant of God who filled an important government office was Daniel. And he did well in his post under the Babylonians. So much so that when the succeeding empire took over, he was left in office. Darius the Mede, recognizing the leadership qualities in Daniel, made him first of three presidents of the whole kingdom. Daniel chapter 6 verse 2. I've also cited the doctrine of the political illusion, first put forth by the French theologian Jacques Ellul. The political illusion, the wrong assumption that everything rests on political outcomes. If our guy is in office, okay, everything will be all right. If their guy is in office, oh, all will be lost. This is a political illusion. To describe a particular candidate in messianic terms is to suffer from this political delusion. Or, the opposite is also true. To describe a candidate as the Antichrist is also to suffer from this political illusion. Let's be clear. No political candidate or political party will save Christianity or even save the world or save the country. And neither can any candidate do irreparable harm to Christianity, our country, our communities. There is also what is known as the political delusion. The idea that political engagement of any kind is unnecessary, pointless, and even possibly involves and implicates you in an evil process. Brothers and sisters, neither is true. The political illusion or the political delusion. American Christians have a civic duty and a Christian responsibility to vote. The late, great Chuck Colson once wrote, "The next time you hear someone tell you that Christians ought to take a vacation from politics, tell them to go fly a kite." Listen, it's our civic duty as citizens of the kingdom of God to be the best citizens of the society we live in. The late, great Chuck Colson, encouraging us to remain engaged and to not relegate ourselves to the political sidelines. The founders of this great nation recognized that our most fundamental and true rights come not from government, but from God Himself. And to protect those rights, we must vote. Yes, the elections are upon us. Let's not be intimidated. Let's not retreat to the sidelines. Let's go out and vote for the candidate of your choice. Vote as your conscience informs you. And yes, allow your faith to guide your vote, to inform your conscience. Speak out. Exercise your right. Fulfill your duty. Go and vote. And remember, we're not electing a pastor in chief. Even though character is an enormous indicator of what a person will or will not do. And defending the defenseless is a most important issue, a foremost critical moral issue, maybe even the most critical. God certainly will judge us if we fail to defend the most vulnerable of our society. Having said that, I don't think that pro-life issues are the only issues to consider in an election. To limit our perspective on politics to this issue alone can be short-sighted. So, a reminder, take seriously your obligation as a citizen and your right to vote. Christianity and good citizenship go together. Turning the page on the report, this third week of September 2024, the Federal Reserve has just cut interest rates by half a point. The first such move in 4 years. Let's get a little bit into the facts of how central banks operate, especially the Federal Reserve here in the United States, and how central banks shape global economy. Let's talk about how the gold standard was abandoned, and this has shifted economic control to unelected officials, granting them the authority to dictate interest rates. Forgiveness. Giving up our claim against our debtors. Those who have sinned against us. depending on the nature of the offense. A pardon may also include the restoration of a broken relationship. The Federal Reserve, its duty is to achieve maximum employment and stable prices, and to supervise and regulate banks. The Federal Reserve Chairman cannot be fired by the President, though he is selected by the President and serves 4-year terms. This week, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell announced the Fed's newest decision on setting the so-called federal funds rate. This is the interest rate we hear so much about. Banks depend on it, investors depend on it, businesses depend on it, and yes, consumers like you and me depend on it. The U.S. and global economy, in reality, are controlled by central banks and the Federal Reserve policies of setting interest rates. The U.S. and global economy are not controlled by what you would think, such as businesses, corporations, or even legislatures. In fact, the U.S. economy, and yes, even the global economy, is controlled by a few select central bankers who decide whether your products ought to be more or less expensive, whether your savings ought to be decreased or increased in value, or whether you get to keep or lose your job. You see, when the Federal Reserve raises rates, it seeks to slow the economy, and this invariably puts people out of work. At the same time, the Federal Reserve has a mandate, a dual mandate, to keep inflation low to approximately 2% annual rate, and second, keep unemployment low. And this is why the Federal Reserve engages in what they call monetary policy. Monetary policy, controlling the amount of money and credit in circulation. As a central bank, the Federal Reserve has the ability to create money digitally by buying treasury bills or bonds or other government-guaranteed securities. But this, at the end of the day, increases the money supply. Looking back in history, things weren't always this way. Before the 1930s, America and many other countries around the world utilized the gold standard as a monetary value. A monetary value outside and beyond the manipulation of any centralized government. This permitted Americans to convert their dollars to gold at a fixed value under the gold standard. There was no Federal Reserve to determine how much your money, my money, our money would be worth on any given day. Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report. Third week of September 2024. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. And Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles. And they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the Religious Liberty Report, a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious liberties and freedom of conscience. On the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. Until next time, Alexander Alfano signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberty.